Shabbos. Fast Shabbos is Parshas B'Shalach. So at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, we have the Parsha of Amalek, of our battle with Amalek. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe al Yeshua, Moshe said to Yeshua, B'chal lanu anoshim, choose for us men. V'tzei hilochem ba'amalek, and go out and battle with Amalek. Mochar anoichi nitzav aresh agiva, tomorrow I'm going to stand at the top of the mountain, imate or the kimbiyodi, and the staff of Hashem in my hand. There's a dispute in the Gemara whether the word mochar goes above or below, meaning is it tzei hilochem ba'amalek mochar, go out and battle with Amalek tomorrow, or is it Mochar Anechi Nitzavol Reshagiva, or is it tomorrow I'm going to stand at the top of the hill? So, regardless of whichever it is, the Moshe Rabbeinu was, it seems, was pushing off the battle with Amalek until tomorrow. So, we need to understand what is the significance of Mochar, of pushing off of the that the battle with Amalek should be Machar, tomorrow. So the Pasuk says, V'yasi Yeshua kasha omar loy Moshe, li'ilochem ba'amalek. Moshe, Yeshua did as Moshe told him, to battle with Amalek. U'Moshe Aharon v'chur olu rosh ha'givah. Moshe Aharon v'chur ascended to the top of the hill. And later on the Pasuk says that the battle was won because Moshe Rabbeinu was lifting his hands, and the pasuk says that when Moshe's hands got heavy, Aharon Achur supported his hands. So, in essence, the battle was won through Moshe, Aharon Achur, and we need to understand why was it that specifically through these three people, Moshe, Aharon Achur, this is how the battle was won. In at the end of Parshas Kisetze, we have again the Parsha of Amalek. There the Pasuk says, Zocher es asher osa l'cho Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you, v'aderech v'tzeischem v'tzraim, on the way when you left Mitzrayim. The Mefarshim point out that the Pasuk seems to be inconsistent, because the pasuk begins in the singular, Zocher es asher osa l'cho, remember what Amalek did to you, singular. And then the pasuk switches over to the plural, v'aderech v'tzeischem v'tzraim, which is plural. Why does the pasuk begin with the singular and conclude with the plural? Then the pasuk continues, Asher korcha baderech, Amalek happened upon you along the way, Vayizanev becha kol anach shalom acharecha. Vayizanev becha, Rashi says that means that he smote the tail among you. Rashi says, makazonov, a smiting of the tail. You need to understand, what does this mean? What does makazonov mean? Vayizanev becha. That Amalek seems attacked the tail of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? So I think we can understand all this based on a pasuk in Parshas Shmos. The pasuk says that when Paray decreed that every boy that is born should be killed, he called in the midwives, who were Yocheved and Miriam, and he told them to kill every boy that is born. So the pasuk says that the midwives did not do as Pari told them. The pasuk says that as a reward for not doing what Pari told them, it says Vayas lehem botim. Hashem made for them houses. It was since the midwives feared Hashem, Hashem made for them houses, says Rashi. what houses are we talking about? Bote kuhuna levia umalchus. That from them descended the houses of kahuna, of levia, and kingdom. Because Aharon, the son of Yocheved, became the patriarch of the Kohanim. Moshe, the son of Yocheved, was a Levi, and Miriam married Kaleb ben Yefuna, who was from Shevet Yehuda, and she ended up being the matriarch of Malchus. Now, I believe that they were rewarded with Kahuna, Levia, and Malchus. And these are called Botim, these are called houses in the Pasuk. Because that these three, the Bote, Kahuna, Levia, and Malchus, represent the components of a Jewish home. And it really... It represents the components of every single Jew, the foundations of the life of a Yid. And that is that Bote Levia, the Levi, represent the concept of Shira, of song, which is really the concept of Tfila, Shira, both are the same. They both share the same gematria. They're both 515. But really, they're both, Shira and Tfila are both the same idea. They are an expression of Emuna in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he is a Kol Yochel, that Hashem controls the world and has the ability to do whatever he wants. That is why we daven to him. It's an expression of tremendous emunah that we believe that that we are totally dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So, Levia, the Levi, represents tefillah, which is, in essence, an expression of emunah. An emunah that Hashem controls the world. Kahuna, and Levia is represented by Moshe. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Levi. And as we see over here by the battle with Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands spread heavenwards. And Unkla says that the raising of the hands represent? It's that Moshe Rabbeinu was raising his hands in prayer. So Moshe Rabbeinu the Levi is involved in tefillah. Kahuna represents the concept of self-sacrifice, meaning a sacrifice of self. Rashi says in Parshas Shmos that Aharon HaKohen was zoiche to the kahuna. He merited kahuna because when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to greatness, it says in the Pasuk, V'ro'acha v'samach b'liboy, that Aharon HaKohen was joyous in his heart. Not only did it not bother him that his younger brother was ascending to greatness, he was joyous. There was a sense of total negation of self. And when it came to the Chet HaEgel, the Chassam Sofer says that the reason why Aharon became the Kohen Gadol, why he was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, is because he totally sacrificed himself, not only his Olam Hazeh, but his Olam Haba as well, by his participation in the Chet HaEgel. It was for the sake of saving, he did so for the sake of saving Klal Yisrael, because he knew that if he would stand up against them, and they would kill him, there would be no hope for Klal Yisrael. So Aharon HaKohen sacrificed his total Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba for Klal Yisrael, and that's how he was zeicha to be the Kohen Gadol. So whether it's v'ra'achav samach b'liboy, or his self-sacrifice by the Chet HaEgel, that is what earned Aharon the Kehuna Gedoyla, or the Kehuna in general. It's the concept of total self-sacrifice, and that's what a Kohen is. A Kohen is, Chazal say, is Shluch HaDerachmana. They are messengers of the Rabbeinu Shalayla, meaning they don't have their own identity at all. Their hand is the hand of the Rabbeinu Shalayla. They're Shluchim of Hashem. So in order for the Kohen to be a Kohen, the Kohen needs to negate themselves. That's self-sacrifice. And that's represented, obviously, through Aharon HaKohen. And the Rabbeinu Shalom demands of each and every Yid, in this upcoming week's Parsha and Parshas Yisroel, Va'atem Tilim Amleches Koyanim, you should be a kingdom of Koyanim. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants each and every one of us to have this Midah of sacrifice of self, sacrificing ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom and to other Yid. Sacrifice of self. So that's the second necessary ingredient to the life of a Yid. The first one is emuna, which is expressed through tefillah. That's the bate levia. The second is self-sacrifice, which is represented by bate kahuna. The third is Malchus. In Malchus is the concept of leadership. A Yid needs to know that we're not a tail. We're not followers. To the sense that if a Yid sees that something is wrong, a Yid needs to stand up and go against the flow. When a Yid sees that the flow is against the emes, a Yid should not be a follower. A Yid needs to be a melech. A Yid needs to be a leader, and to stand up when necessary, and to say, this is the way it should be, and the way that things are going is not the right way. We find this by Miriam. Miriam, whether it was when Pare made the decree that every boy should be killed, Miriam stood up against Pare. And when her father Amram made a decree that everyone should separate from their wives in Mitzrayim, it was Miriam that stood up and said to her father, this is wrong. As Rashi tells us, she told him, you're worse than Pare. Pare only made a decree on the men. You're on the boys. You're making a decree against the girls as well. And as a result, Miriam had a son Hur, who, when the entire Klal Yisrael was worshiping the eagle, Hur got up and said, "This is wrong." It was that power of Malchus that Hur had inherited from Miriam that gave him the ability to stand up against them. And as a result, he lost his life. But that's Chur, that's Malchus. So these three are really necessary for a Yid to live his life as a Yid. It's necessary for the Yid to have within themselves the Leviya, the Kehuna, and the Malchus. Leviya, which is, once again, which is Emuna, expressed by through tefillah. Kehuna, which is sacrifice of self, and Malchus, which is leadership and standing up for the sake of Emes. And these three together are represented by Emes. Emes stands for Emuna. No, I'm sorry. It stands for, one second. Malchus, Tefillah, Malchus, Emes, Mesiras Nefesh, and Tefillah. These are the three things that a Yid needs to have within their daily lives. Now, I believe that really these that there are three women in our history that really represent these three foundations. Miriam, as we mentioned, represents Malchus. She was the one, as mentioned, that she stood up against Paro. She stood up against her father. When she saw the Emes, she stood up for it. She wasn't a Zonov. She wasn't a tail. She stood up to be a Melech. And as a result, she was Zoichet to Chur and to Malchus descending from her, since she stood up for the Emes. The first foundation that we spoke about, which is Tefillah, is represented by Chana. Chana, all the halachas of Tefillah are learned from Chana's Tefillah. So we have Miriam representing Malchus, Chana representing Tefillah, and then we have Rachel Imenu represents the concept of self-sacrifice. Rachel totally sacrificed herself when she gave up the simonim to Leah. She is she epitomized this midah of self-sacrifice. Now, since these are the three foundations of a Yid's life, therefore Amalek seeks to attack each and every one of these. And that's why the pasuk begins, Zochar es asher asa lecha Amalek. The first thing Amalek wants to do is he wants us to enhance the lecha. Hello? Is everyone still there? So Amalek wants us to enhance the lecha, meaning to see Amalek wants us in every situation to try to find what's in it for ourselves. It's the opposite of self-sacrifice. Quite the contrary, Amalek wants us to find what's in it for ourselves in each and every situation. Zohar, remember, asher asa l'cha Amalek. Amalek wanted to instill the l'cha within you. B'derech b'tzeischem in Mitzrayim, when you were coming out of Mitzrayim. The second thing Amalek did is asher korcha b'derech. Amalek wanted to bring about the concept of asher korcha, that everything is coincidence, that the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't control the world. And therefore, tefillah would be a futile exercise if everything is a mikra, if everything is just a coincidence. So that is Amalek countering the concept of tefillah and amunah. And the third thing is vayizanev b'cha. Amalek wants us to be, it's a makazonov. Amalek wants us to be the tail, to follow, to be followers instead of leaders, countering the concept, the foundation of Malchus. So therefore, since we had to counter the Amalek on all three of these areas, that's why Moshe said to Yeshua, "Tzehi lochem ba'amalek machar." Go fight the Amalek with machar, which machar is an acronym, it's a Rosh Tevis of Miriam, Chana, Rachel. Those are the three women that epitomized these three inyanim of Malchus, Tefillah, and Mesiras Nefesh. And that's why we required Moshe, Aharon, and Chur to win this battle, because Moshe represents Levia, Aharon represents Kahuna, and Chur represents Malchus. It required all three in order to overcome Amalek. Now, later on in history, we find that there was another time that we battled Amalek. That was in the times of Shaul HaMelech. So, In that battle, there was, that battle was led by Shmuel and Shaul. So we had Shmuel, which was a descendant of, which was a son of Chana. And we had Shaul, which is a descendant of Rachel. What was lacking was Miriam. And that's why we find that the reason why the battle was lost, it was an unsuccessful battle, is because Shaul followed the nation instead of leading them. Because what was like, even though there was the tefillah to counter Amalek's Asher Korcha, and there was the self-sacrifice to counter the Zohar as Asher Asalacha Amalek, but there wasn't anything to counter the Vayizanev Becha. There wasn't anything to counter the power of Amalek to that we should be followers instead of leaders. And that's why Shaul lost the battle, and as a result he lost the Malchus. Because that is what was lacking in that battle against Amalek. After the drosh on Shabbos, someone came over to me, Rabbi Yitzchok Bronner came over to me, and he said that maybe perhaps that's what we find by Pinchas. Pinchas did his heroic act. It says Vayikach Roimach Biyodai. He took a Roimach, which literally means a spear, in his hand, but it's spelled just like Machar. It's spelled Reish Mem Ches, which is Rochel Miriam Chana. He took all three. It says, the pasuk says Vayamad Pinchas Vayefal, that Pinchas stood up and davened, which is the Chana. Pinchas totally sacrificed himself. It was a tremendous act of Mesiras Nefesh, which is the Rochel. And he wasn't going along with the flow. He was acting against the flow, which was an act of Malchus. And that which is the Mem, which is the Miriam. So our Avoda, in overcoming Amalek, which is a constant battle until the time of Mashiach, is to integrate into our lives the Miriam, the Chana, and the Rachel. The tefillah expressing our faith in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he is the Kol Yachol, that he controls everything, and we are totally dependent upon him. The Rachel, self-sacrifice for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, for Klal Yisrael, and the Miriam, to realize that we're a roish, we're not a zonov, we're a head and not a tail. We need to stand up for the sake of the emes, and that tzchus will be zeicha to eradicate Amalek once and for all, and to be as Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehera b'mehera.